Dear brethren, Brother Ray Krupa, of course, needs no introduction to the brethren assembled here at this convention. We all appreciate his example, his zeal and service to the Lord, and I'm sure he has a very fine message for us. He has chosen as his topic the delivering angel. Brother Krupa.
My dear brethren, it has certainly been a rich blessing for us to have been gathered together here at this convention. And I believe each of us could testify that truly the Lord has been with us. The spiritual lessons which we have been privileged to listen to give further evidence that the Lord is still feeding his people and that he seems to know just what each of us needs. We are traveling the road which leads to our heavenly home. And this is just a little stopover, a little place where we can further prepare ourselves so that we may continue on, realizing that the road that leads to the heavenly courts is a very rugged one. We often may wonder, are we really equipped for such a pilgrimage? Are we really preparing ourselves? Are we doing all in our power to get ready for this great transition from this life to the life above? The question takes many forms. Will we have faith enough when the great, perhaps the most supreme trial of our life one day crashes down upon us? Will we have enough love to triumph over the resentments and exasperations that may come our way? Will our faith hold out, though the vision seems to tarry? Will we continue to appreciate the doctrines of present truth? For every once in a while we do hear that there are some who are losing their first love. Will we have strength for the struggle? I'm sure there are times that come to each of us when a sense of our own human weaknesses seems to almost overpower us, and as a result, a sense of inadequacy sweeps over us. And we wonder whether we can go on. And it is not surprising that we should be concerned about whether we will continue to be faithful, whether we'll be able to weather the storm, because after all, the endurance of trials and difficulties is so easy to talk about at a meeting or at a convention. It's so easy to endure a trial that some other brother or sister is going through. But how different when they affect us personally. How different when suddenly they become a living reality in our own life. Oh, it's not hard when we see that brother's home shattered by some experience. Or it's not so very hard when the grim reaper pays a visit to that sister's family. But what will it be like when those experiences affect our life? What happens when the road suddenly becomes steeper and rougher and lonelier than you ever imagined it could be? What happens when your heart cries out, and you just feel you can't go on. Well, it is then that our loving Heavenly Father sends a delivering angel with a message of love. And we know that this is so because it has happened to other servants of God. And so we know that it will happen in our case as well. Yes, there have been others who have served the Heavenly Father who have had moments of severe anguish and trial. You remember the experience concerning the day when it happened to that rugged man of God, the prophet Elijah, of whom Brother Poland spoke. You remember how the subtle, the stubborn scheming of Ahab and Jezebel and the powers of darkness had been most discouraging to him. And finally, he threw himself beneath the juniper tree. And he said, as we find recorded in 1 Kings 19:4, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life." Elijah needed help on that occasion. He needed strengthening. And so a delivering angel was sent. And he touched Elijah and said, "Arise and eat." And as we read in 1 Kings 19:8, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." There was a day when it came to another servant of God, the prophet Jeremiah. And as you read the 20th chapter of his prophecy, you can almost see Jeremiah weeping, discouraged, heart weary and sad, marching up to the throne of God and ready to resign his commission as the prophet of God. And there was a day when it happened to the apostle Paul. That nagging, that aching thorn in the flesh was almost more than he could stand. It was interfering with his ministry. He could do so much more if he just wasn't bothered with that thorn. And so he went to the Lord, and he asked his help. And then he went a second time, and a third. So it is not surprising that creatures like ourselves should feel helpless in time of trouble and distress when we are faced with severe experiences. Faced with these trials, where will our help come from? Well, as we consider the question, we become aware of certain voices which are crying to us in this modern day in which we live. They claim, "Oh, you possess powers within yourself. Just do a little positive thinking, and you will awaken within yourself an ability to overcome any obstacle whatsoever." Well, if that was substantially the message of faith, then it could have never been called good news. For the ancient Stoics, many years before Christ was born, preached that philosophy. But Christianity, the Word of God, says something quite different. It says you can do better than to look to yourself. You can look to the Heavenly Father and receive strength that cometh from above. It says that you can enlist all the powers that brought into being the universe in order to help you in your moment of testing and trial. And this strength, which comes from above, is emphasized in the Bible by the doctrine of angels. The word angel, or angelus in the original, literally means messenger, envoy, a messenger from God. And how great are these servants who serve the Heavenly Father in this particular way. Those who watch over us, those who guard and guide our steps, they behold the face of the Father. And how privileged indeed they are. They are able to accomplish their swift assignments in split-second time. Truly, they must be able to travel faster than light itself. And we are told that they are so powerful that on one occasion, one angel was able to destroy 185,000 enemies of God in just a single night. That power, that protection is ours as we walk the narrow way. These angels of God have brought blessings to the servants of our Father in every age. To Elijah, under that juniper tree, there appeared the delivering angel, as we read. And so a beaten, broken man, disheartened and discouraged, was able to go on in the strength of that blessing. Not because some inner process was brought into being, not because of some device of his own nature, but because God sent the delivering angel. He was strengthened because of a real visitation from the world of God. And so to Paul, at the end of his struggle with his thorn in the flesh, there came a voice from the world above. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. At the beginning of his ministry, when Jesus went into the desert in order to be alone and there to study the prophecies of the Bible, of the Old Testament, in order that he might better appreciate his special mission here upon earth, we know that he was tempted of the adversary, but he resisted valiantly. In Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse, we read that the devil leaveth him. This was at the end of this period of temptation. The devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now at the end of his ministry, when Peter drew the sword and was ready to defend the Master, Jesus' words to him on that occasion, recorded for us in Matthew 26, 52 and 53, were, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Yes, from the very beginning, even before Jesus' birth, the angels guarded over him, and he well appreciated the protection which they afforded him. and so to ourselves also, in every time of need, there comes mercy from heaven through a delivering angel. I think there are some in every congregation who could vouch for this. In this age of faith, the Heavenly Father no longer sends angels that materialize as in Abraham's day. And yet, they keep a constant vigil over their precious charge. And so it is very comforting and very reassuring to know that we have this strength which cometh from above. But in addition to this, there are strengthening angels that now come in different form, no less real than in days gone by, because they are most helpful. And how do they come? Well, often the strengthening angel is some shining word from our Father's word. I think there are some here who could testify that at the crucial time in their Christian experience, suddenly they were strengthened by the Word of God. Truly, it was like receiving a message from above. It was like receiving a message from another world. And when we realized that the Father himself had this special interest in us, why, it just enabled us to take courage and continue fighting the good fight of faith. Do you remember the day when you were down in the depths of discouragement because the way was so rough, and you felt that you just couldn't continue on much longer? Suddenly, the Apostle Paul's words found in Philippians 4:13 came to you in order to encourage you. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I'm sure that each of us have found these words a very present help in time of trouble. Or do you remember the time when a real sense of unworthiness swept over you? When you almost, or perhaps you did feel ashamed to be called a Christian? And then, against that night, there appeared as stars the words recorded in Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And so, when we have these bitter experiences with the flesh, let us take courage and realize that our Father knoweth our frame. And for that reason, he has provided the robe of Christ's righteousness, which gives us a standing before him. But let us keep it clean. And as we appreciate these little messages of assurances from the Word of God, what are experiences like that but the strengthening of an angel? Too often, there is danger of our ignoring the Scriptures, and in this way we ignore help from our Heavenly Father. It is God's word that is truly the fountain of truth and of light. I think we have all realized that man-made ideas and theories are not the revelation of God. And that is why we take such great pleasure in looking into the Scriptures and going back into the original and finding out the real message that God has presented to us. How much we stand to lose if we ignore the truth because the truth is the link between our world and our Heavenly Father's world. And it is the truth that is really our listening post for messages from beyond. There was a time in the past, perhaps it was just a month ago or two, in some cases it may have been 50 or 60 years ago, when the God of heaven spoke to us. And what a blessing that was. What relief it brought. What liberty. And that blessing came about because of a delivering angel. Or as the Lord puts it in his parable in Matthew 13:39, the reapers are the angels. Someone was sent by God, either known or unknown to us, who brought to our hearts the realization of the beauties of God's Word. Yes, the angels were spreading the glad tidings. They were sending out light and truth, and by God's grace, they paid us a visit. And these angels brought glad tidings to us. Glad tidings concerning the two salvations. We realize that the Heavenly Father is not only pleased to call out from the world of mankind a people for His name that would be associated with the Master in His kingdom as rulers, but then perhaps for the first time in our life, we recognize the fact that there would be subjects in the kingdom, and that these subjects would be the whole world of mankind. And what a relief it was to us when we realized that our unbelieving friends and relatives who could not appreciate God and the Scriptures as we do would also receive a real opportunity to have life, but that their life would be here on earth. And how thankful we were that these angels administered unto us, brought us the truth concerning the ransom for all, that as in Adam all died, so in Christ would all be made alive. And as they ministered these harvest truths, the angels were used, these messengers, that is, to reap the wheat. And for that reason, we are even here today. The knowledge of God's plan, which is our inheritance, carries with it a great responsibility, which cannot be ignored. By God's grace, we have been given a clear outline of the divine plan of the ages and the fundamentals of Christian teaching. And it is our duty to keep these alive in our midst. That which we call, in a very loving way, present truth, is far in advance to present-day thought among Christians generally. By God's grace, we have been placed in the position where we should be watchers, watching over the interests of Zion, watching over the truth, and watching for opportunities to serve in the vineyard. Let those who are in the city, let those who are in the world, go about their business and serve the interests that seem good to them. But let us continue as a separated people, consecrated to the interests of our Heavenly Father's work in the kingdom, serving also as angels of God, bringing deliverance from error to others as we may have the opportunity. When Nathanael was called to follow the Master, the promise made to him was, as we find recorded in John 1:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." As we have studied the Word of God, we have recognized that our beloved Master is truly the ladder upon which communication between heaven and earth was reestablished. Our eyes of understanding have been opened to the truth because of Him. And it is upon that ladder that the angels of divine favor have descended to us. There have been angels of love and mercy. There have been angels of forgiveness and adoption. There have been angels of peace and fortitude. But they have all come through Christ. It is on this same ladder that messages are returned to the Father, returned by delivering angels. So we send prayers of thanks and appreciation, and we make known our requests to the Father, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we meet as the Ecclesia of God, the strengthening angel, which can be the Word of God, moves in and out amongst us. He may first go beside one who may have brought a frightful personal worry to the meeting, and the angel says to him, "Cast your burden on the Lord." And as this brother or sister sits there at the meeting, looking at this brother or that sister, he realizes that that individual has gone through, oh, so much. Perhaps that individual had gone through the very same experience that he was about to go through. And realizing that we are to cast our burdens on the Lord, he is strengthened. And so the angel moves on to another who may be facing in the coming week a great and difficult task. And this angel says to him, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so he takes fresh courage, and he is able to press on. But some thought in the study, or because of some testimony, this text may have just been awakened in his mind. And so he takes a blessing with him home and relief. And so now, the angel moves on to the third, perhaps to one who is losing his faith and confidence in the Lord and the truth. And the angel prays, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And so something happens in that meeting, and it is encouraging and strengthening. And I believe that each one of us here could testify that we've had that experience. And that's why it means that going to meeting and having fellowship with the brethren is very, very important. Sometimes the delivering angel is a fellow creature. And this is not surprising, because the Father can use any of his people as a special messenger. Well, there were few of the human family in the Master's day who could be used in just that special way as God's comforting angel. But Mary of Bethany was one who could be used in just that way. The Master's mind was filled with thoughts of his coming crucifixion. He knew from the type that in just 5 days He would be slain as the true Passover lamb. And I'm sure that he must have wondered whether he had fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and had been pleasing to him. And so he must have been greatly concerned. He also realized that of the people, there could be none with him. None could really understand and enter into his feelings. And yet, at the right time, Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with costly ointment and with her tears, and she wiped his feet with her hair. This was very encouraging to the Lord, and it strengthened him at just the time when he needed help, and it enabled him to continue so that he could become the ransom and so that he could save the whole world. And I'm sure it is a fact to which many of us could bear witness that our Father has seemed so near to us because of our contact with a special human being. Some seem to have the blessed faculty of just turning our weakness into strength. Instinctively, our tribute to them is, "You have been an angel of God to me." When men looked on Stephen as he died, they said his face was like the face of an angel. And there are those who have had that effect in our own life. They make us feel that they have been specially sent of the Father. Now, if this has been true for you, don't you think that you also could serve as a special angel of the Heavenly Father? We have the great privilege of helping one another, of cheering each other on the way. And inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of them, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, some of the Lord's most able need encouragement too, as one of the manna texts brings out. Don't you think that Brother Woodworth needs it once in a while? And Brother Wilson? And Brother Penrose? And Brother Morehouse? And Brother Baker? And Brother Price? And Brother Copeland? And all of your elders? They need it just as much as you do. Let's try to be a source of blessing and encouragement even more than we have ever been before. And there is still another way in which we are strengthened. Sometimes the strengthening angel is none other than the Lord himself. Well, in a sense, it is always the Lord, whether it is through some word or thought or whether it be an angelic being that is sent on the mission. There was a dark night when the storm was very fierce upon Galilee's lake, and the winds were blowing a gale. And as the disciples were in their boat out there on that lake, they felt sure that they would never live until the morning. And then in the dark, they observed something coming toward them, and it was moving along very swiftly. And presently, the Apostle Peter said, "Why, that's Jesus! That's the Master!" And he knew that because the Master had just said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And some of us would not be here today if that very thing had not happened to us. Some of us would have made shipwreck long ago in the stress of trouble, in the storm of temptation, if we hadn't been miraculously strengthened by the Master. when he gripped us by the hand and pulled us to safety. So if there's anyone here who is walking in darkness and having no light, if there's anyone here who is bruised and hurt in spirit, if there is anyone here who is going through a veritable Gethsemane of regret and shame, be certain you are not alone. Be certain that there is someone standing at your very side that will strengthen you and help you to press on. Yes, our loving Father will always send a delivering angel in every time of need, whether we be in the mount of temptation or on the sea of trouble. Be of good cheer. The delivering angel will come at just the right moment. Let us, therefore, look for these angels with the eye of faith. Let us pray that we might see them, just like when Elisha prayed at Dothan, that his servant might see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountains were full of fire and chariots. Yes, these delivering angels are all about us, these strengthening and delivering angels of the Lord. Let us rejoice and give thanks for the power of God working on our behalf. Amen.
We thank Brother Krupa for this reminder, the great help that is always available through the ministering angels, of course, through our Heavenly Father Himself as He works through them, and His Son Jesus. We have now come to an intermission for our lunch hour. And when we sing our closing hymn for this service and have our prayer, we'll remind Brother Krupa to give thanks for the noonday meal. We'd like to remind the brethren to be back in their seats at 1:45 when Brother Dyfer speaks to us. And he's going to plunge right into his subject, he tells me, so that if you're not here on time, you'll just about miss most of it. So try to be prompt. We also know that many brethren are leaving from time to time as the convention is drawing to a close, and we wouldn't want them to leave without having the assurance that the convention sends their love and greetings. And even though this is planned for later on, I think it ought to be a continuing thing. So all in favor of sending their love and greetings to those who are going to their class or show by raising the hand. Fine. Now we'd like to use as a closing hymn the 294, the first, third, and last verses. And let us stand as we sing the last verse. The first, third, and fifth verses.
Thank you.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come unto thee once again, Father, to thank thee for thy many blessings, to thank thee for the assurances of thy word, that thou dost care and watch over us. And we thank thee, Father, for the mighty power that is enlisted on our behalf. We thank thee also for the privilege that we have of knowing thee and thy great plan, and of following in our Master's footsteps. Our prayer is that the blessings of this convention may long linger in our hearts, so that they may bring forth the desired fruitage to thy honor and glory. Help us that as a result of this past week, we may more than ever lay down our lives in sacrifice. Now, Father, we are mindful of the bountiful provision that thy loving hand has provided on our behalf in the temporal good things, and so we thank thee for them. We ask thy blessing upon them, that the strength from them may be further used in thy service. Bless our dear brethren the world over, and forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.